We have been presented with the potential for a new world. A world of freedom and accountability, except that freedom is harder to come by than we thought. This episode with Bitfinex is short but filled with gems. Born at the dawn of Bitcoin, this OG crypto company has been around since very early on, and they continue on their mission to educate, to be the bridge into the space of freedom, and where possible, be the white hat hackers and technologists that they always were. If you at any point in time enjoy this episode, please give it a rating, subscribe to the podcast channel if you haven't already, so you don't miss out on any of our latest episodes. For any comments or feedback, the Spotify Q&A section is open, or you can just hit us up on Twitter. Now with that, let's get straight into it. Hello and welcome to another episode of Bankless Africa. I am, of course, Miss Purple, and today's guest has been here before, but today he's here in a completely different capacity. I'm quite excited because today we are talking about Bitfinex and the work that they're doing towards financial freedom. I'm joined by Paolo, who has been with Bitfinex from 2015 and currently serves as the CTO, that is the Chief Technology Officer. He's working on developing and managing the core parts of the Bitfinex backend. He's also been building valuable tools and infrastructure for financial innovation for the past 15 years. So that is quite a roster you've got there. I know we have spoken about this before, but today we're going to speak mainly about Bitfinex. So can you just talk mostly about your role in Bitfinex and what that has been since you've joined in 2015?
Well, first of all, thank you very much, Ms. Purple, for having me again today. So I'm a developer, right? I started coding when I was really young, at 8 years old, and coding, building programs, applications, and then infrastructures has been the passion of my life. After graduating university in Italy, I worked as a researcher, and then I started building applications related to financial services, because in a way they were, you know, finance is such a behemoth when it comes to the ability of transacting, the ability of sending and sharing information. So it requires a lot of engineering. And so always fascinated me for the opportunities that as a developer I could get. When, you know, in 2013, I started reading the Bitcoin white paper. I got excited about the blockchain aspects of Bitcoin. So this new technology that was based on, of course, many different discoveries, many different ideas that were put together by Satoshi in the Bitcoin white paper. And then also I got excited and my mind was blown up from the potential of Bitcoin as a currency, right? So I think that Bitcoin is this thing that is dual. So there is the currency and there is the tech aspect that is the blockchain. And of course, they go together. And 2013, I discovered Bitcoin. At the end of 2014, I got the opportunity to meet with Giancarlo, the CFO of Bitfinex and Tether. You know, the environment, the cryptocurrency environment at the time in 2014 was completely, 2015 was completely different from what we see today. In 2014 and 15, first of all, Bitcoin was pretty much the only currency traded. Of course, there was Litecoin and a few others really trading mainly Bitcoin. And the Bitcoin exchanges were pretty much more e-commerces, I would say, almost e-commerces than actual proper trading platforms, right? The majority of these cryptocurrency exchanges were started by people that buy enthusiasts, by people that love Bitcoin. They knew a little bit of coding and they patched together, they built together a platform that was not based on Nasdaq, not based on the New York Stock Exchange, but simple a platform that was a simple website with the ability for users to send, to buy and sell from these Bitcoins from others for dollars. So, of course, that was fine in the early years, but it started already in 2014, 2015, it started to be a little bit stretched. Because at the end of 2013 was the first time Bitcoin passed the $1,000 mark per coin. So Bitcoin was creating interest waves around the world. And more users were interested in using Bitcoin exchanges. And so the demand on these platforms was so high. The limitation, the technological limitation of all these exchanges, not just at the beginning, so it was Bitstamp, Kraken, Coinbase, OKCoin, they were all extremely limited. What was happening so often was that these platforms were having scalability issues. So I was brought in Bitfinex to start solving the scalability issues and preparing the platform for an explosive growth. So, you know, when I joined, the core part of the trading platform that is called the matching engine is the part that takes the order from one user and matches that with the orders of another user. I was able to execute around 50 orders per second. So being able to accept and execute up to 50 orders per second. Right now, fast forward many years, of course, it's 9 years that I work in Bitfinex. The platform is able to execute 1 million orders per second, right? So it's so many times more. This, of course, created many opportunities for Bitfinex, because with more orders, with more capacity, you can host more users. The users are trading more frequently. They are using more complex order types, so that generates more revenues for the exchange, and so on and so forth. So we, over time, fast forward today, we have, I would say, the most professional complete trading platform in our cryptocurrency space.
Bitfinex itself was founded in 2012, which of course makes you one of the earlier and perhaps the OG exchanges. And currently there are over 500 exchanges. But according to CoinMarketCap, Bitfinex ranks 8th based on traffic, liquidity, trading volumes, and just overall confidence. There is, of course, around $53 in trading volume in the past 24 hours, 455 markets, and 194 coins on your roster. Now, in my humblest of opinions, these numbers are quite impressive. How has Bitfinex managed to stand out of the unnecessarily large pool of exchanges? What has set you apart and kept you on the path that you currently are on now that maintains, you know, Bitcoin white paper as possible?
Of course, we are really proud of the place that we currently sit on. I just wanted to clarify that the numbers on CoinGecko and CoinMarketCap are millions. So it means that is 53 million traded in volume per day. Bitfinex has been an exchange that has been always true to the mission of cryptocurrencies world, especially Bitcoin. It's important for us, right? We were early birds in this industry. So we started in 2012, as you said, and we grew up from then. Starting in 2012 means that when we were talking to people outside of our niche, outside of our group, we were talking to people that didn't even know the concept of Bitcoin, didn't know the concept of cryptocurrencies. So we had this innate passion to try to explain what we were doing to everyone, the importance of what we were doing, right? The importance for communities, importance of keeping control over your own money, right? Having Bitcoin is feeling is a sensation that no one ever had in the past financial history. This is the first time, right, that we had access control over our own money. And so with Bitfinex, we wanted always to transmit that, to remain, you know, loyal to that ethos, to that philosophy. Of course, you know, you can, there are many coins now, right? There are many new cryptocurrencies and there are so many different opportunities. But I think one of the things that made Bitfinex different in the eyes of our users is that on Bitfinex, you can find the real OGs, right? The people that build the industry, that participate, that put all the energies to build this industry, right? So if you look at our cold wallets, our hot wallets are still the biggest or among the top two biggest of the entire industry, because that is the confidence, right? People are trusting us with their money. They understand that we respect their money. We are the first ones to teach them how, or try to teach them how they should custody their own money. And yet, you know, we are among the biggest cold and hot wallets in the industry, because it's all part of this confidence, all part of this being loyal to the spirit of the industry. You know, we are also the exchange that came out in November with the Freedom Manifesto that is even more reinforcing what I'm saying here. This is a manifesto that describes our philosophy, describes our passion in the financial freedom aspects that Bitcoin brought to us, but also the passion in general in open source, in building and developing technologies like Lightning Network, building applications like Heathole Punch, so freedom of communication, and contributing with grants, contributing with code ourselves, contributing with ideals, vision, and so on, so and strategy. So that's why I think we, you know, among the 500 and more crypto exchanges that you mentioned, Bitfinex still has a big place in the heart of traders and cryptocurrency enthusiasts. I remember times, especially like it was 2020, it was March when I think Donald Trump stopped inbound flights in the US, the entire stock market crashed, but also the cryptocurrency market crashed as well. All the exchanges, every single exchange went down apart Bitfinex. So our technology allows us to withstand to all the craziest moments in terms of volatility, market turbulence, and so on. But I think that on the other side, we are also known for being kind of the OG exchange, where you can feel that we are respectful of the philosophy of the ethos of Bitcoin, the original ones. This very same passion, you can still feel it today in our communications, the way we explain to our user base what we are doing, the way we integrate new Bitcoin technologies like Network. We are the biggest Lightning Network node. And we started offering Lightning Network as the first exchange when everyone else was saying that was too dangerous, right? And yet we had confidence, we studied technology, and we were there at the first.
I like what you alluded to there in terms of custodying your own funds. I know that, you know, for a lot of us, 2022 taught us that verifying your trust in any exchange should be a regular occurrence and not just something that is nice to have. That being said, Bitfinex's reserves data is available for the public to view should they wish to do so. Now, my question is on, you know, the conversation on ownership. How, or rather, why have you been able to have both hot wallets and cold wallets? Or rather, why was that your focus versus, for a lot of people, it's mainly just get as many people into crypto as possible. But for you, you also want to give people the option of, you know, perhaps having their keys or not having their keys and their crypto as well. Because understandably, for a lot of people, the process is going to take a lot longer for one to understand then how exactly do I go about having ownership and custody over my coins and my crypto, etc. So how has Bitfinex looked at the conversation of, you know, not your keys, not your crypto, and then deciding which route to take in general?
So I really love this conversation because as exchange owners, you know, people would expect that we are pushing users to keep their funds on our platform. In my opinion, that is not the right way. Again, Bitfinex have a lot of funds on the platform, and I'm not necessarily happy about it. Because the way it should be is that people should learn about keeping custody of their own assets, right? There are hardware wallets, there is Treasure. Now, of course, there is Ledger. Ledger in this moment is going through some controversy, but he always made great products. So all these products are helping people to take off their money from exchanges and keeping custody of their own money. Of course, it's not an easy process, right? So there is a balance. It's always easy to say, take your coins off the exchange. And I think ultimately is the way to go. But it's not for everyone, or at least is for everyone as long as they have the right education. That's what I like, right? So if you use a Treasure or if you use a Ledger, there is the concept of seed. That is those 24 words that you have to keep extremely secure in order to recover your money if something goes wrong with your hardware device. But how these 24 words should be kept secure is really important. You should never save them on your computer. You should write them and hide them in a place that is extremely secure, because if someone steals them, then all your money is gone. All these things has to be taught, has to be explained in order for people to get confident to protect their own money. So that's the necessary step. That is the necessary education that needs to happen. But exchanges like us, right, that exchanges that benefited from the growth of this industry, as I said, should be respectful of the philosophy of this industry and should help people to understand how to do it in a secret way, in a safe way. What we are setting up ourselves for in 2023 is focusing more and more on education. And one of the things that I fear the most myself is people losing track of the history, right? So in every single country, in every single culture, losing your roots, losing your history is what should be scary, because you will not understand anymore why you are here, who you are, where you're coming from, and so on. And so if we lose the importance of Bitcoin, why it started after rebellion against the financial crisis of 2007-2008, if we lose that, if people get used to give up their the control of their own Bitcoins, we end up again in the same very same situation. So that's why I say history is important. So people should be told why this entire movement started.
Personally, I was reminded about the entire movement itself when we discovered that there are Bitcoin white papers embedded in a whole bunch of Mac desktops out there. So that was an interesting moment. I think also because I thought, wow, okay, so a lot of people out there actually have access to the Bitcoin white paper. I do wonder how many have actually sat down and actually read what it is about. But you've been mentioning quite a lot about financial freedom, but I can imagine that promoting this in emerging markets such as the African continent requires a certain level of, you know, understanding in terms of what your options are and maybe what the purpose of financial systems and the tools that it has actually is. Could you share what financial freedom means to you both as an individual, but also as Bitfinex?
Yes, financial freedom is in general freedom and the right that everyone expects, right? There is nothing that is more sacred than someone else's freedom in choices, in interact with the others. And so freedom comes in two main ways in this current era of the world. One is freedom of communications, right? Freedom of speech. That is the most known, common sense of freedom, right? You want to be able to say whatever you think, of course, always in a respectful manner, but you should be able to express yourself. If you cannot do that, it means that you are living in some form of dictatorship, or, you know, someone is holding you your right to have your own opinion. And the second one, especially in this modern era, is the freedom of transact, financial freedom. These two components, right, freedom of speech or freedom of communication and financial freedom, are part of what is called the individual sovereignty. In order for being fully free, you need to be able to talk to people and interact with people also financially in the way you see fit. Of course, respecting laws, but you should still be able to do it in a free way, right? Without having people watching what you're doing, you know, monitoring you, controlling you, as in a completely dystopian world, right? And so the right of privacy is as well important. Making sure that you can interact and transact with people that you want, of course, respecting the laws, but still the nation you are living in should assume that you are a good person by default, should never assume that you are trying to hide something by default, because that is where we go to the Orwellian 1984, we are with a big brother and so on. So that's what we want to represent with Bitfinex, right? A system that fights for the fundamental rights of people to be able to talk freely and transact freely and have some sort of respect of the privacy, of the right of privacy to people. As an exchange, we have to comply with laws, but I think it's important to, as still an exchange, to remind regulators how these fundamental rights are important in the lives of people. And so that's what we are doing with Bitfinex, right? So we have the Bitfinex Freedom Manifesto that is that mentions, you know, the different ideas in terms of open source, building on top of Bitcoin technologies, building freedom of communication technologies like OpenCH, and many other things. But in the end, is the understanding of these fundamental rights and making sure that as part of our daily work and daily interactions with institutions, with regulators, with our users, we explain to them, to all these different communities and crowd, we explain them the importance of these rights.
I know you keep alluding quite a bit to the Freedom Manifesto, so I will be sure to include that in the links so that the listener can be sure to read that up for themselves. But I have read through quite a bit of it, and in it you mention that we, as Bitfinex, believe education is the key to create the momentum for positive societal change. Now, realistically, how do you disseminate this information to the people?
Sure. So, of course, there are different ways, right? You can do it online, you can do offline. I think the most important part is, as you said, realistically, right, is an important word, because usually education is a synonym for many companies for marketing, right? You know, a nice marketing pitch that they can do online and then move on. The reality of things is that companies like Bitfinex or Tether are well set and have the capital to start reaching regions directly on the territory. And that's a game changer, right? So that means creating events, creating material that is written in different languages, material that is simple to understand. Not everyone is a technologist. Not everyone has the time and resources to dedicate to understand the full depth of this technology. So that's on us. The ability to explain, to create material and create small events in different key areas that can provide material that not only is for developers, not only is for people that have a financial understanding, but is also for their family and friends. Something that use common words, common sense, simple example in the day-to-day life of people is what matters, because would be unfair that the last people to understand the potential of this technology are the ones that need it the most. So that's why we need to be better at finding ways to educate ourselves. There are conferences, yes, but the people that need this technology the most cannot go to these conferences. So how we help them, right? How we can create these materials and how we can deliver this material to them is the most important part of our journey. And I'm not saying we just started, but it's something that we are trying to understand ourselves how we can do better, because that is the key part of the mission.
How do you combat, you know, trying to send out this education to people, but then also the whole wave of journalism that tends to be a bit negative towards crypto if, say, one thing goes wrong, particularly given what happened last year, and now we're in a bit of a lull as it pertains to the crypto market. And of course, a lot of people are looking at Bitcoin and thinking, hey, this is not what we thought it was going to be today. But everything has changed from what it used to be many, many years ago. And of course, the normal person who's perhaps maybe not interested in crypto because it looks too complicated, maybe put off because of everything that they're hearing in the news as well. How do you navigate that and trying to retain the users that you already have and reach out to more and educate as many as possible?
That's a great point, right? So first of all, journalists thought Bitcoin was dead, you know, 600, 2000 times. I mean, it's, you don't count them that anymore, right? So it doesn't matter what journalists think. Many of these journalists, not all the journalists, of course, there were many from the mainstream media, they bash Bitcoin. It's not that journalists have been historically always great in understanding technology. They prefer to write about doom rather than write about the potential of new ideas. Not to everyone, of course, there are many great journalists. But, you know, sometimes happens that in mainstream media is siding with, for example, the banking industry. And the banking industry is the one that maybe is spending much more in advertisement. And so journalists have to follow who is giving them more money. And it's nothing surprising, right? So it's how the world works, right? So you have to respect your editor, you have to respect the advertiser, and so on. So because they are putting food on your table. So I don't have anything against that, honestly. But you know, the other two things is that sadly, recently, mainstream media failed to see that actually they were so focused on looking at Bitcoin and showing how Bitcoin went down in price in the past year, And they didn't see the big issue, maybe in their own country, with these all banks, the US banks that failed, and they were bankrupt, right? So like Silicon Valley Bank and similar. That's sad, because of course they were obsessed by Bitcoin, they were obsessed by the cryptocurrency world, and I'm not saying that the cryptocurrency world did great things last year. I mean, with FTX, with the Celsius, Genesis, BlockFi, Voyager, Terra Luna, all these things were terrible. But these things were made out of greediness. And greediness is what drives people, right? So it was not surprising that these things were happening. But it should not discourage people from the good part of the technology. Right, so from understanding the great things about Bitcoin. Bitcoin is not for speculation, right? Of course, there is a price component and people should be happy, you know, and of course, if they bought cheap and price goes up, they are happy. And that's fine. But Bitcoin is much more than speculation. It's much more than just the price. Bitcoin is path to your freedom, right? Freeze your own wealth. And so that's something that is one of the things we have to teach to the people that are looking at, what happened in FTX and they are afraid and get discouraged. It's don't invest in crypto just because you want to get rich quickly. Understand the technology because it could be a game changer for your life. It's a game changer because it gives you access to your money and gives you full control over your own money.
Now, in closing, I'm interested to know what you're most looking forward to within, you know, the next 2 quarters that are coming, and of course the one that we're in, mainly in the DeFi scene, but also mainly from Bitfinex perspective.
So there are different components to my train of thought. So there is definitely regulations. Now we're seeing that, you know, based on what we just said, regulators are looking at the industry and seeing the industry is as a potential risk. And so they're interested to regulate it as much as possible. I hope, and this is one of the efforts that companies like Bitfinex are doing, we hope to be able to help regulators to understand the potential of the technology and how to properly regulate it rather than regulate it by force and limiting the potential of technology. So technology didn't have any faults. Technology is great, is always great. Is how people use it that is problematic, right? So it's important that remain positive, but also we put our efforts in line with and trying to advocate for good regulation, good laws. And also, I think DeFi is of course paving the way to prove that in finance we need less intermediaries, not more, right? So when it comes to remittances, when it comes to lending, when it comes to so many different aspects of finance, DeFi is showing that it's possible to achieve what banks have done for the past many years, but with less intermediaries. So with more money, less trust that you have to put in the system, more savings because it costs less fees because there are less intermediaries. That is a much better approach, and it's much more transparent. So I think DeFi will continue to pave the way into that direction. And at Bitfinex, we are just excited to be still leading the space when it comes to both technology, but also providing education, providing, you know, this attachment to the philosophy of Bitcoin. And also, we are going to act as a reminder for everyone to understand, to remember why all this started.
Thank you so, so much. I think, you know, personally, having less intermediaries works a whole lot better. I tried sending money from a crypto exchange into my fiat account versus from one bank account to another. And the bank account took a week, whereas the fiat and the crypto situation took about a few minutes. So that was evidence to me that this is for a lot of us who need to connect with different people from different regions to be able to either bring funds in or send them out. That is a lifesaver and it changes many, many lives. I think maybe, again, you know, perspectives can change everything when you look at things from a different perspective. You understand why crypto is so important. It's not just, like you said, is not just a thing where you can get super rich and live the best life possible, but it's also one that can make so many things, you know, more accessible to a large group of people that have for a long time been left out in the outskirts. So thank you again, Apollo, for coming through and letting us know more about Bitfinex. As I mentioned, I will include as many links as possible in our show notes so that you can go read up on their manifesto, their freedom manifesto, and of course, everything else it is that they're working from, or rather working on. Just a reminder that none of what we've shared here is financial advice. Please always do your own research, especially when this space tends to shift so quickly. Nothing is ever set in stone here. There is a whole world out there yet to be discovered. And this time, Africa is actually at the core of the table. So thank you, everyone. Until next time, stay safe.